By way of illustration, the Mason family settlement was created by Ted Mason in January 1996 for his four grandchildren. Alexandra, born on the 27th of March 1978, Simon, born on the 26th of June 1984, Victoria, born on the 5th of November 1985, and Suzanne, born on the 18th of June 1989. The trust gives the beneficiaries the right to an interest in possession in 25% of the trust income at age 21, and a right to the same proportion of the trust capital at age 30. The IHT position of the trust is as follows. The trust would have been a qualifying A&M settlement with IHT protection under Section 71 IHTA 1984. There would have been a PET on the creation of the trust with no exit and principal charges until the changes in rules brought in by Finance Act 2006. There was therefore no principal charge on the 10-year anniversary of the trust in January 2006. Alexandra was born in March 1978. She therefore acquired an interest in possession in one quarter of the fund from her 21st birthday in March 1999. This was a pre-March 2006 interest in possession and was therefore a qualifying IIP in her estate. Alexandra became entitled to her share of the trust capital on her 30th birthday in March 2008. There was no IHT at this point, as the assets simply moved from qualifying IIP into her free estate, so there was no transfer of value. Simon was born in June 1984. He acquired an interest in possession in one quarter of the fund from his 21st birthday in June 2005. This was a pre-March 2006 IIP and is therefore a qualifying IIP in his estate. When Simon becomes 30 in June 2014, the assets will move into his free estate. There'll be no IHT charge at this point, even though the appointment is after the 6th of April 2008. This part of the fund is not relevant property, so there will be no exit charge. Victoria was born in November 1985. She acquired an interest in possession in one quarter of the fund from her 21st birthday in November 2006. This was a post-March 2006 IIP and is therefore not a qualifying IIP. Victoria's share of the fund is therefore relevant property and will be subject to exit and principal charges. Therefore, an exit charge will arise when Victoria becomes 30 in November 2015. Victoria's share of the trust fund became relevant property with effect from the 5th of November 2006, not from the 6th of April 2008. Therefore, when counting the number of completed quarters for the purposes of the exit charge, we use the 5th of November 2006 as the date the trust assets became relevant property. Suzanne was born on the 18th of June 1989. She acquired an interest in possession in one quarter of the original fund on her 21st birthday on the 18th of June 2010. This was a post-March 2006 IIP and is therefore not a qualifying IIP. Suzanne's share of the fund is therefore relevant property and will be subject to exit and principal charges. The first principal charge will be 20 years from the creation of the trust. This will be in January 2016. There is no principal charge in 2006 as the trust assets were not relevant property. An exit charge will arise when Suzanne becomes 30 in June 2019. Suzanne's share of the trust fund became relevant property with effect from the 6th of April 2008. Therefore, when counting the number of completed quarters for the purposes of exit or principal charges, we use the 6th of April 2008 as the date the trust assets became relevant property. The first principal charge will be in January 2016. This will be a percentage of the relevant property in the trust at that date. By January 2016, only Suzanne will be under the age of 30. Her share of the fund is relevant property and will be subject to the principal charge. The rate of tax on a principal charge will be calculated using the current value of relevant property and the initial value of non-relevant property. It will also take account of chargeable distributions in the previous 10 years. The number of quarters will be adjusted to reflect that the trust assets were not relevant property until the 6th of April 2008. There are two examples to attempt to complete this session. The only asset in Mr. Roscoe's free estate is the family home worth £400,000. He also had an interest in possession in a pre-2006 trust. This is a qualifying IIP, so the trust assets will form part of his death estate. Both the free estate and the trust have a 40% holding in an unlisted company. The company is an investment company, so no BPR is available. As the shares form part of both the free estate and the qualifying IIP, the shares must be valued together for IHT purposes. Therefore, the value of the shares in the free estate is 40/80 of a combined 80% holding, being £250,000. The total free estate is therefore £650,000. The same principle applies for valuing the shares in the qualifying IIP. However, we are told in the question that the trustees sold their 40% holding in July 2010 for £210,000. In this case, relief can be claimed under Section 176 IHTA. Where assets are valued with others for IHT purposes, and those assets are sold for less than the amount chargeable to IHT, a lower amount can be substituted. In this case, the shares are sold for £210,000, which is less than the aggregated value of £250,000. On making a Section 176 claim, the original value of £250,000 will be replaced with the standalone value of a 40% holding. In this case, a 40% holding at death was worth £200,000. The value of the qualifying IIP is therefore £200,000. We add this to the £650,000 in the free estate to give a chargeable estate of £850,000. We deduct the nil band and charge the excess at 40%. The IHT payable as a result of Mr. Roscoe's death is therefore £210,000. Jade acquired an interest in possession in the trust on her 25th birthday on the 7th of December 2006. As this is a post-March 2006 IIP, it is not a qualifying interest in possession. Instead, the trust assets are relevant property with effect from the 7th of December 2006. The capital appointment in August 2010 will therefore give rise to an exit charge. The trust started off as an A&M trust, and Jade's fund only became relevant property in December 2006. There are 15 completed quarters between the creation of the trust in March 2003 and the date the trust assets became relevant property. There are 29 quarters between the creation of the trust and the date of the exit. As the exit charge is in the first 10 years of the trust, we calculate the tax by reference to the initial value of the trust in March 2003. This was £600,000. We deduct the nil band at the date of the exit and calculate notional tax at 20%. Notional tax is £55,000. We express this as a percentage of the transfer of £600,000 and multiply by 30% to give an effective rate of 2.75%. We then adjust for the quarters. There are 29 quarters between creation and exit, and 15 quarters before the trust assets became relevant property. The actual rate is therefore 0.9625%. We finally multiply this rate by the cash of £100,000 leaving the trust to give an exit charge of £962. This concludes this lecture on further aspects of interest in possession trusts.